Welcome to the Family Life Church Podcast. We hope you're blessed and encouraged to share this with someone you know. Subscribe or visit thefamilylife.org for more information.
There's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. I want to talk about the spirit of man tonight. The spirit of man. Amen. Pray with me. Father, I thank you for your good word, for your good grace and compassion towards us. And I know, Lord, that you are wonderful and mighty and holy. And so I pray that you would help us, God, to understand this word. Help us, God, to live it out and to be submitted to it. Thank you, God, for loving us always, perfectly loving us. And I pray, God, that you are glorified through us. And I trust you and love you. Anoint me and anoint this people. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. God bless you. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Our kids are upstairs and our youth, we pray for them. We pray for that the will of the Lord would be done in all of our lives. Amen. Aren't you glad that we're able to gather together on a Wednesday night? Amen. There's a wonderful passage in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, if you would please, in the 7th verse, that offers peace to us as well as an understanding for both the present and the eternal. Now, let me dive into this real quickly here, because it'll get just a little bit thick here for a moment at the beginning. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. This is a scripture that I have taught on before in regards to where are the dead. People have often asked me when someone dies, when someone they care about dies, when someone they know passes, where in fact do the dead go? It's a question that I'm often asked, and the answer is very simple. In face value here, beginning, it gets a little more complex as we move on into it. But I'm not talking necessarily about that. But just let me explain. The spirit of man, when someone dies, the spirit of man goes back to God who gave it. All people, no matter their spiritual status as we might judge them, their spirit goes back to God who gave it. No matter the denomination, no matter the lack thereof, no matter the belief, the embracing, or the lack of embracing any particular faith or belief, no matter who they are, no matter where they're from, all spirits go back to God who gave it. We know that by this one scripture. I'm going to take a step back and give you my opinion on something here, and this is my opinion. But whenever I approach the head of a casket, or whenever I, when my father passed away some years ago, and I had been raised this way, this was the way he raised me, this is the way I believe still to this day, that when I stood at the head of his casket, that may have been the body of my father that housed his spirit and his soul, but he was no longer there. That flesh, and I don't mean to sound cold in this, and I hope everybody understands this, I believe you do and will, but that flesh did not matter to me. It was going to return to the dust from whence it came. And so when that casket was closed and he was buried in that ground, it was the ordained purpose of the will of God that the body goes back to the dust from whence it came. My father was already gone. The shell of the vehicle was still there, but the breath was gone. So when the breath was gone, and I'll talk about that here in a sec, when the breath was gone, the spirit was gone. The soul was gone. Where did the spirit go? Where did the soul go? The soul went back to God who gave it. Every person, everywhere of all time, that's what the word tells us. The spirit of man goes back to God who gave it. The righteous, I'm just going to walk here just briefly in this. The righteous are then placed in Abraham's bosom or in paradise, as Jesus clarified it on the cross. The unrighteous, those who did not serve God, those who are not believers in Christ, are placed in hell, which is the temporary place of torment. Paradise or Abraham's bosom, as it was qualified paradise when Christ was on the cross, the righteous are placed there in that temporary place of resting. Until the end, at the end, the righteous then are in heaven and the wicked are placed in the lake of fire because death and hell are cast into the lake of fire, which is the eternal place of torment. Everybody still with me? So we know by that whenever someone dies, someone that you love, and I tell people this often, while we are not the judge of who is or who is not saved, we cannot determine where a person will find their final resting place. Everyone, no matter what their life was that was lived, that you know, has the hope of the mercy of God because their spirit goes back to God who gave it. And so I tell everyone whenever they talk to me and they begin to talk to me about whether they were saved or unsaved or life they lived, life they didn't live, I always tell people, first of all, know this, that no matter what their life was or was not, their spirit goes back to God. And we serve a merciful God. Leave people in the hands of God. Leave their soul and their spirit in the hands of God. We were not called to put people in heaven or hell. We were called to put people in the hands of a merciful God. Because that's where we all live. Amen? Now, that's all I'm going to say about that. But nonetheless, that's a lesson for another night. It's the spirit of man that we're talking about tonight. The spirit of man given by God. God breathed the breath of life into Adam, the word said in Genesis, the second chapter in the seventh verse. And man, at that particular point, when God breathed into Adam the breath of life, man became a living soul. Not just flesh from dust, but the flesh that was formed from the dust was given the inhabitants of the soul, a living soul from the breath of God. The breath of God determined the living soul of man. It started that march of humanity through all time. The temporal nature of man, the flesh, and the eternal nature of man, the soul and the spirit. Those were the two natures that God established, that God created. The flesh, the temporal nature, and the soul, the spirit of man, which is the eternal nature of man. It is the spirit of man, the spirit that is within each of us here tonight, and all people that matters the most. Jesus said this about the difference between spirit and flesh. If you would, please look at this. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. If the Savior of the world would say to such a pointed word for you and I, it would be well for us to take heed to it. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The spirit is what matters. The flesh does not profit anything. The most important thing about your life, the most important thing about your life, the most important thing about everybody's life is their soul. The spirit of man, this flesh is going to pass away. It is temporal. It was not made to last. Amen. Even Lazarus is not around. If God brought him back from the dead, which he did, it was not meant to be forever. Why? Because the flesh was not to be forever. Amen. It was temporal. It's the spirit within us that holds the greater weight and worth. The soul, the spirit of man, that will live forever in eternity. This flesh will pass away, but the eternal nature of you and I, the soul, will live forever. It should be the importance of our life, the most fed and nurtured area of our life. The submitted spirit to God should be the thing that dictates all the directions of every aspect of our life in every way. The soul should be the most important thing and the most influential thing. Not the flesh and what seems to profit it, not the temporal things that moth and rust corrupt, but the spirit that is life. Look at this in back to the book of Job where we were just a moment ago. But there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. There is a spirit in man, the spirit of you and I in each of our lives, and the inspiration or the breath, this is better translated, the breath of the Almighty giveth it understanding, or it gives meaning, it gives reason. There is the answer to the greatest mystery of life that everybody wants to know. Everybody wants to know what their reason is. Everybody wants to know what their life is for. Everybody wants to know the purpose behind it. Our meaning for living is God. Yes. If you want to know why you're here, it's because all things were created by him and for him, and without him was not anything made, and everything was created for his pleasure. Amen. It was God's good pleasure just to create us. You want to know what your purpose in life is? It is to bring glory to God. You want to know what the meaning of life is? It is to magnify the Savior. Amen. Because God breathed breath into us. He breathed life. It's the answer. We live this life in the flesh. It's the vehicle of the spirit. That's all this flesh is. I've talked to you about this before. That watch on your arm, that is the measure of mortality. That's what it is. That calendar on your wall, it's just keeping track. That's why David said, Lord, help, teach us to number our days so we know how to live them out with wisdom, so we might know how to conduct ourselves. We have that so we can measure our life. Amen. We live this life in the flesh. It's the vehicle. It's temporary. It's to be lived out for God, to God. Amen. So many become disillusioned in life. They become unhappy. They become confused, they become lost because they're trying to find their purpose in so many other wrong things that are in this world. So many things that the world sells that it's gonna last, it's gonna be the thing, it's gonna be the satisfaction, it's gonna be the thing that finally gets us to where we wanna be and where we need to be. No, never meant to be that way. It was never meant to, those things, so many things that will not satisfy, they'll not last, things that may take up space and time in our life, but have no real meaning because they are not ordered and ordained before the glory of God. And that's where the difference comes in. When those things are not ordered and they're not ordained for the glory of God, then they become the distractions often that pull the glory away from God into the flesh. It's not that God doesn't want us to have those things and to be blessed. In fact, I believe he does, or he would not have allowed them to be. But God will not satisfy an outward desire or expression in your life at the cost of your inner soul. I'm getting a couple amens on that, but I want you to hear it again. I want you to understand it. God will not give you something that you want at the cost of your soul. You believe that? But we can circumvent the will of God. We can circumvent, if you would, the plan of God. We can make decisions on our own that go around the ordained will of God and plan of God according to his word and make decisions that could cost us our soul. But it's not necessarily the will of God that put them in our life to begin with. I've heard people say, well, I don't know why the Lord took me through that. You may be on the other side of it, I may be on the other side, but it doesn't necessarily mean that God put me in it. I may have made choices to put myself in it. I may have made decisions. If somebody goes down the road tonight and unfortunately is drinking and someone is affected negatively by it, it's not God that put that situation in play, but it's the choices that flesh makes. God can take the choices that flesh makes and what the enemy means for our harm, the word says God can turn it for our good. Do you see this? Because that's the sovereign. Remember, I told you we're going to get a little out there tonight, so stick with me. That's the sovereign hand of God at work. But we can't look and say, well, God put me into this or God took me through that. God made me go through. No, God's not making the bad happen. People make choices that are against and opposed to the will of God. We have to live out a life that brings glory and honor to God and make the right choices. But people become disillusioned, they become unhappy because they're trying to find the fulfillment in so many other things. God wants you to have blessings. God wants to bless us. I believe that God wants us to bless. We know that Abraham by the blessings that were in his life, Job by the blessings that were in his life. We could go throughout the lineage of the Bible and talk about how God blessed people with wealth and God blessed people with this and that and possessions and goodness and favor. God wants to bless people. He wants us to have the best of things, but God never meant for things to come in between him and us.
That's right.
Amen? We struggle discerning spiritual things, and this is where it finds footing. This gets a little slippery in people's life. We struggle discerning spiritual things because the spirit is not given the attention and the importance that's needed to be able to discern spiritual things. Look at this in the book of 1 John, please. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Now, I love the way that John began this. Beloved, that person I love you. I love you, just don't believe everything. He was soft in his approach and his niche. I love you so much, just don't believe everything you hear. So that's what he was saying. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We are to try the spirits. We are to discern what is right and wrong of God or not of God. We are called to do that. And the church needs to rise up and do that. If you are in the sound of my voice, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you have been given everything you need to discern what is right and what is wrong. If you're hearing to hear this tonight, you've got the Holy Ghost in your life, you have a discerning spirit. People say, well, I've got the spirit of discernment. You have the spirit of discernment if you've got the Holy Ghost. It's not some special gift. You got the Holy Ghost, turn it on. Use it. Put up that radar. Let it be known. There should be a sensitivity in the Holy Ghost that just lets you know what is of God and what is not of God. Somebody say amen. This is important in this present spiritual climate that we're in because this is a very, very, very unique climate. We are in a certain falling away. The Bible talked about the falling away, and we are in a falling away. And when there's a falling away, there are certain things that are revealed in our lives and in the church. And that's why I said what I said at the beginning. There's a revealing that's going on. Because of that falling away, it's going to be found out who's on the Lord's side and who's not.
Right.
Because this is much, much, much more than what we sometimes isolate it to be. This is important. Many are hearing things that sound right, but they are not right. And because of that, there's an exceptional need in every one of our lives right now that we are trying the spirits to know that they are whether they are of God or not. There's the following of emotions. There's the following of feelings. And because feelings and emotions can have energy, in the Bible, in one particular place, the prophets of Baal leaped upon the altar, beat their backs to a bloody pulp, and called on their God, and nothing happened. Everybody know where I'm at? Then the prophet of God got up there and just said a simple little prayer, and all of a sudden the fire fell on all the barrels of water in the sacrifice. You can't deny that the prophets of Baal leaping up on the altar, beating their backs to a bloody pulp, you can't deny that there was energy. There was energy and there was emotion. But just because there was energy and there was emotion does not mean it was of God. We can't just follow energy and emotion and feelings. I think that's been revealed to us that have a form of godliness but don't have the power of the Spirit behind them. How we can try the Spirit to know is if there is power behind it that is ordained by the Word and the will of God, because God will not contradict His nature and God will not contradict His Word. He will not go against what has been forever settled in heaven. Amen. Look at Timothy. This is what happened in Timothy now. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. They'll be covetous. They'll be boasters. They'll be proud. Listen, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Lack of thankfulness always precedes a lack of holiness. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. When we look at this list of things, it is easy to see that they are at work in this present church age. They are at work in this present spiritual climate. Yeah. They are all around us in so many capacities. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Truce breakers without natural affection. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Right. Think about it. Look at the layers here that he was talking about. And ultimately, they have a form of godliness. It sounds spiritual. It looks spiritual. It feels spiritual. There's emotion behind it. There's energy behind it. But just because there's emotion and energy does not mean there is God.
That's right.
We are to turn away from them, not to them. We are to not even listen to them.
That's right.
To entertain them or give them voice in our life. We're just not to allow that. This is why the verse from Job is so important. The inspiration or the breath of the Almighty gives us understanding. You can go back to that verse we first read. The inspiration, the breath of God gives us understanding. If I don't have the breath of God in my life, then I'm not going to have the understanding of God in my life. Everybody with me? When he appeared to the disciples after the resurrection, the word said that he was in the room with them and he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And then the Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. You still with me? Say amen. 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 That breath of God enabled them to have understanding. It is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And let me say something here. This is after conversation with Chase over here in one of his classes. A lot of people, when you're talking to people out in the world and you talk about the Holy Ghost, they don't have a clue what you're talking about. Because the Bible doesn't talk about the Holy Ghost much. It talks about the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, it's not some charismatic word that we need to avoid or phrase. And when you're talking about the Holy Ghost, you're talking about the Holy Spirit. When you're talking about the Holy Spirit, you're talking about the Holy Ghost. And most of the world is going to understand it more when you say the Holy Spirit. All right? You can say amen to that. It's going to be okay. That doesn't mean you're backslid or anything. It's just the truth. Our spirit needs the breath of God to enable us to understand what is of Him and what is not from Him. Amen. Our spirit is able to try those spirits to see if they are of God or not when we are full of the Holy Ghost. When we are filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. When we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we should be able to discern the spirits that are at work in the world. That is why it's desperately important that we are continually and constantly full of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Prayerfully considering, knowledgeable in the Word, walking in the Spirit. Because why? Those that walk in the Spirit, they're led of God. They are the sons of God. Yes. They know the Word of God. They know the will of the Father. Yes. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Our spirit needs the breath of God to enable us to understand what is of Him and not from Him. Our spirit is able to try those spirits to see if they're of God or not because of the fullness of the Holy Ghost within us. Ye which are spiritual, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Ye which are spiritual, the word said, we're to restore. we can and should be spiritual. There is nothing wrong with being spiritual. There is something wrong with being carnal.
Right.
I've heard people say, well, they're so spiritually minded, they're no earthly good. I've never encountered anybody that ever met that mark. No. Because usually if somebody's thinking they're so spiritual, then that's probably meaning they got a long ways yet to go. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be spiritual.
Exactly.
We should be spiritual people.
Absolutely.
When we encounter people, people ought to know because of the Holy Ghost within us.
Yeah.
That's what the book of Acts talked about, the Holy Ghost within us.
Yeah.
It should resonate in our conversation. It should resonate in our emails. It should resonate on social media, amen, or it should keep us off social media, probably the latter. And the Holy Ghost within us should speak volumes. Amen. You which are spiritual, we should be spiritual people.
Yes.
Yes, we should.
Yes.
If we're going to discern the spirits that are in the world by the spirit within us, we should be spiritual.
Yes.
Spirituality is a choice. It's a lifestyle that's lived and it's decided upon. It's not something that happens, but it is intended. It's a practice. To be spiritual is to put practice in place. Decisions, disciplines. The word of God is known. And obeyed. Prayer is done without ceasing. Prayer should be something that we are doing without ceasing.
Yeah.
You say, I don't know how you can pray without ceasing. It should be the very breath of God that's just breathing in us. We should walk with prayer. We should walk with a prayer in our mind. Amen. Just because you're in the grocery store doesn't mean you can't be prayerful. You don't have to get down beside the basket and pray at the meat counter. No. But you can still be praying. You can still be walking in the Spirit. I'm serious about this. You can be walking in the Spirit. You can be spiritual when you're not in this place. We should be spiritual when we're not in this place. Amen.
Yes.
The word of God is known. It's obeyed. Fruits of the Spirit are living in us. Love and forgiveness freely given. We worry so much. I talked about this a few weeks ago. I'm just going to throw this out there because, man, I'm talking about everything tonight, aren't I? We worry so much about the gifts of the Spirit in operation, and we don't think a thing about the fruits of the Spirit being born in our life. I want to bear the fruits before I ever worry about any gift. I want to be love and kindness, and joy, and peace. Help us, Lord. Look at this in 1 Corinthians. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world. No, we have not received the spirit of the world. But the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost, everybody say the Holy Ghost. There's the word Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Stay with me. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. My flesh won't receive what's spiritual, because my flesh will deem it as foolishness. It will say, what in the world are you doing? As a matter of fact, in one particular place, we were told to not think it strange why that when people wondered why we didn't run to the same excess and revelings that they would run to.
Right.
Why do we not do that? Because we are spiritual. We know the mind of God. But the Holy Ghost teacheth that comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. We have the Spirit of God that we might know the things of God that are freely given to us. When we have the Holy Ghost, we are able to know the things of God in our life and things that are not of God in our life. We compare spiritual things with spiritual. We hold them up to the Spirit, and if it doesn't line up with the Word, if it's contradicting the Word and the nature of God, we don't want anything of it.
Yes.
If it goes against what God is telling us to live and do, we don't want to do that.
Amen.
We don't want to be that. We don't want to be like that. Amen.
Amen.
Because we discern spiritual things by the Spirit. We hold it up, the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. I'm just talking about the Word tonight. The Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. We hold it up to the Word, everything, everything to the light of the Word. Men love darkness rather than light, the Word said, because their deeds were evil. People don't want to get near light because the light reveals the nature. If we are carnal, then spiritual things will seem foolish because we cannot discern them to be right. We will not see or feel the breath of or life of God in them. We'll not understand them. You follow this? If we're not being spiritual, we're not going to discern things correctly. The spirit of man within us will not perceive as it should when we're not being spiritual. It will seem foolishness. That's why people come to church and people, stick with me. That's why people will come to church that are unchurched and they will feel something, but they will not understand why we worship the way we worship or why we do what we do or act the way that we act or live the way that we live. Because through the, and I'll talk about this more on Sunday. I'm not going to get into it tonight. But because we look at things through the lens of the flesh, it seems foolish.
Right, that's right.
You go to church on Wednesday nights? Well, I don't get that. You live that way? Well, that doesn't make any sense. Right. You lift your hands and let me tell you something. From the perspective of the pulpit up here, there is nothing like seeing somebody in church for the first time in a Pentecostal service.
Right, right.
I mean, deer in the headlight kind of look, right. Wondering what's going on, what will be next. Why? Because the flesh can't discern spiritual things. It seems foolish.
Right.
Until finally, there is that connection of the Holy Ghost. And suddenly it begins to make sense.
Yeah.
And they find joy and they find peace in it.
Yeah.
That's why you're here tonight. Because you found out through the lens of the Spirit what really is real.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah, say that again.
If we are carnal, then spiritual things seem foolish. But the breath, the life of God in them will give us understanding. Now listen, God did not just let us loose in this world without direction to figure this out on our own.
Right.
He didn't do that. He gave us his Spirit, his word, his will to chart and execute the course. It's the last verse of that chapter that we're reading there that brings it all together. If you would, look at this in Corinthians, and it says this. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ.
Yes.
We have a word. Everybody hear me. We have a word. We have a direction. We can discern what is right and wrong. The world wants an answer. We've got it.
That's right.
Say that. That's kind of bold. The world wants to know what's going on. I got the answer.
That's it.
The world wants to know where to turn.
That's it.
Let me tell you his name.
Jesus.
The world wants peace. Let me tell you where you can find it.
Jesus.
The world wants hope.
Jesus.
I want you to know where hope is.
That's
it's
right.
Jesus.
That's
we have the mind of Christ. You mean it's not in the government, it's not in society, it's not in this, it's not in that, it's not in money, it's not, no, never has been, never will be. We have the mind of Christ. We have the answer. There is nothing wrong with looking at somebody with a holy boldness yet through love and mercy and telling them, I've got the answer for your life. There's nothing wrong with looking at people and telling them and saying to them, you're in sorrow, you're in despair, you're in worry, you're in wonder, I've got the answer, it is Jesus. Amen. You found it. You have found what they're out there looking for. They're wandering around. They're bumping into this and that. Well, I'm telling you, when they bump into you, it's ordained of God so that you might be able to point them to the cross.
That's right.
And a resurrected Savior. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
We have the mind of Christ. We can discern. He didn't just let us loose to wander around out here in this wilderness now. God has not left our life to be meaningless. He's not left us alone to figure this out without him. Our spirit has his Spirit. We have his word. We have his Holy Spirit in our life. Amen.
Amen.
And I am thankful for that. I'm not worried tonight. I am not in fear. I'm not wondering. I'm not wandering about thinking, where is this going to ever begin or end? Amen. I have the answer. I don't mean to sound arrogant. I don't mean to sound too bold of this, but I do want to sound confident. I have the answer, and his name is Jesus. And whatever comes or goes, amen, it's going to be all right when you've got him in your life. Amen. You may not like it. I may not like it. It may not be comfortable. It may not be what I want at any given time. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of things I want to be different that are not yet different. But I am not going to throw in the towel and walk away and think I can just go here or there and it's going to be any different, any better. I need to hold on and realize that Jesus Christ is still the answer for this world. He's still the answer for my life. He's still the answer for your life.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He's not left us to be meaningless. And we are able to discern, to know, and to understand what is right and what is wrong. We are able to know what is right and what is wrong. The Spirit quickeneth. That means made alive. We are made alive by the Spirit. There should be a quickening in your spirit about certain things. Amen. 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 Now, I'm really done, but I've got to say one more thing here before I finish. Don't over-spiritualize everything. Because not everything is spiritual. The wise man said, where a tree falls, that's where it is. That's you know, trees fall. Just because the trees fall doesn't mean that it's something spiritual going on. Cars break down. Debts happen. Things go wrong. And just because they go wrong doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. It just means you're in life and living. So don't over-spiritualize everything. If somebody comes up to you and says, you know, a particular word, and all of a sudden you walk away with, well, that must be of God. Not necessarily. That's why we try the spirits to see if they are of God.
That's right, Pastor.
Amen. We're able to discern, to know and to understand what's right and wrong, to know how to live and what to be saved, how to be saved. Not everything, not everyone, and not everything that says, Lord, Lord, the word said it this way. Not everyone and everything that says, Lord, Lord, is of him.
Right.
It's not. So we guard our hearts as to what gets in our heart. I guard my heart as to what gets in my heart, because from the heart come the issues of life, the wise man said. What gets in my heart, I'm going to be manifested in my life. God gave you and I a spirit. There is a spirit in man. And there's more to talk about the spirit of man, but I just wanted to walk into it tonight gingerly and help us to know. God knew what he was doing when he gave you your soul. And he loves your soul. And he wants to spend eternity with you, and you want to spend eternity with him.
Ooh, yes.
This flesh is going to pass away.
Yes, it will.
Amen. It's going to be gone, but we will live forever
with Jesus.
Aren't you thankful for that peace? Amen. I've got that deep, settled peace in my soul. I've been redeemed and made whole. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and I know I understand that deep, settled peace in my soul. Come on, I want you to sing it with me. I've got that deep, settled peace in my soul. I've been redeemed and made whole. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and I know I understand that deep, settled peace in my soul. Come on, thank him for that peace that passes understanding. I love you, Jesus. God, you're so good. Come on, why don't we stand and do that? God, I glorify you. I exalt you. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord, that you love us. Thank you, God, that you save us. Thank you, God, that you redeem us. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Aren't you glad you got a promise? Hear me, someone. Don't fear the future.
Yes.
Have faith in the God that holds the future.
Yes.
Don't fear death or the rapture.
Right.
Take peace in it. The Bible said to comfort one another with these words. We ought to take peace that one of these days we're going to be home with Jesus. Amen. One more time, give the Lord praise. I love you, God. How great and mighty is our God. Mighty fortress is our God. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. To God be the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you. God bless you. I'm looking forward to Sunday. God's going to be here. Bring somebody with you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah.